This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from East End Backyard, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Crate.
You heard the man. That's the plan. Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show for the Press Box forever. As we wrap it up and get a new day dawning in Gal Media lineup starting Monday. But with that, we do a bid a fond farewell all day and honor the Falcon, Fred Fowler, as he's going to be doing a final blitz. Our good friend Pink Valkyrie, Christina, is in the building. Always great seeing her smiling face. Sunshine and rainbows come with her as opposed to some of the people she chooses to sit with. But we love having the fans out here in the backyard at the east end of downtown. And that's where we're at. And you guys should be here, too, because all the way past 7 o'clock, we're going to be celebrating Fred, having a good time, reminiscing on all the different memories. I'm sure pepper spray is going to come up more than once. I'm sure there's going to be lots of different things to talk about and lots of different people to be heard from as we keep this party rolling and have a good time and use the weekend to kind of reset before we get going on the new festivities that will start Monday. Astros in Anaheim to take on the Angels. Interesting there that word is leaking out with Max Scherzer a Dodger for the rest of the year. The Angels are said to be interested in going after Max Scherzer full board in the offseason. Patrick, you asked about this. You asked me about this in the break, and I told you it doesn't worry me. It doesn't concern me, and it has nothing to do with the fact that Scherzer's probably got a couple years left in the tank, but it's just another desperate move by a franchise that makes desperate moves over and over. The latest is Anthony Rendon, who, you know, comes over from the Nationals and gets paid buku dollars and spent, what, half the year or more on IL before they just shut him down for the rest of the season and he's going to have surgery. And you look at every single desperate move they made and whether they do it with a position player or a pitcher, it doesn't end well for them, so it doesn't bother me.
Anytime you see that kind of a pitcher come into your division on an opponent, there's always, you know, at least you're going to take notice of it. But kind of to what you said, the rest of the Angels pitching staff,
yeah,
they're not very good. So, all right, well, we've got an ace in Matt Scherzer. Are they finally going to let Shohei Ohtani pitch every 5 days? Are they going to keep him on this, oh, you can only pitch once a week thing? What are they going to do with him? How much are they going to continue to let him pitch, considering how big a bat he has proven to be this year?
Plus, you have to factor in, by the way, excuse me, but I'm just going to interject this. They only got one more year of paying him a cheap salary before they're going to have to overpay Shohei Ohtani, too.
And if you're Shohei Ohtani, now you will have the opportunity to go winning. Well, actually, no. He'd be arbitration eligible, wouldn't he? Because he came in on a regular contract. He wasn't one of those guys where you posted all the big money to get him. I'll look that up for you in a second.
Okay.
and verify that. But the Rendon deal has been a disaster. He had a career year in Washington when they won the World Series, and
Upton,
he's basically been injured ever since.
Upton didn't work for them. I mean, you go up and down the list with the moves, the desperation moves they've tried to make, the veterans that they've tried to grasp and hang on to, and it just hasn't panned out for them because they've had some really bad people making big-time decisions for that franchise.
So, Ohtani, the way his contract is set up, there will be 1 year of arbitration before he hits free agency.
Which is this coming off season?
No, following season.
So he's got two left.
He has this year. Then next year he'll make $5.5 million. 2023, he's arbitration
eligible.
I read
an article this week that said they're already trying to figure out what it's going to take after this offseason to lock him down because they know they don't want to get there.
You want to know the answer? It's really easy. What did Fernando Tatis just get?
Yeah, but I mean, I see your point, but I think they're going to fight that, but yeah.
How do you fight that? Not only is he, what, top of the league in home runs, he's also been pitching like a stud. Now you're going to, well, you know, we can't pay you as much as a guy who's just a position player, even though you do both at elite levels. Yeah, they're going to have to pay him extreme money.
They'll bring the injuries up.
They do whatever they want, because you know what? If he hits the open market,
oh,
we're going to see a record contract. And he's not a he is 27. He just turned 27 a week ago. So,
you're
know, somebody
him 13?
No, but I could see somebody give him at least an 8-year deal.
At least. And I think the Angels fighting the Dodgers and knowing that they've always it's just like the Lakers versus the Clippers. I mean, the Angels are never going to be the Dodgers, and they got no shot. But every time they have a shot, they're going to overspend, they're going to overextend, and they're going to try and do what everybody says they can't do by making a move like this. So it makes perfect sense.
Look, this is a team, you know, Artie Moreno has spent money. It's not like he's afraid to spend money. They just don't necessarily spend it wisely. You know, they went out, they made the huge move for Albert Pujols.
There's another one.
Pujols gave them one good season. Every other year he fell down, fell down, fell down.
You knew the extra years were the difference maker between him re-signing in St. Louis or going to Anaheim, and you knew it was a death sentence the minute for the franchise, the minute that they agreed to it, because at his age, there was no way. You were hoping there's only going to be 1 or 2 years, but there was no way he was going to live up to the value of that contract.
No, you hoped he was going to hit the record milestones while he was a member of your team, so you could sell those, you could market those, you could make money on those.
And in the short term, win.
And they didn't win, and they didn't. They got the 600 homers, but they didn't get to the 700, and I think they were banking on him hitting 700 home runs in an Angels uniform. And I don't know that he's going to get there, which he's 25 away. He's definitely, obviously, not getting there this year. But is somebody going to make him a somewhat regular player next year so that he could go chase 700 homers?
I don't think so.
And he'd have to be in the American League, right?
I mean, yeah, as a DH,
really
that's the only chance. I just don't see it. I don't think so. I think, you know, he can be a spot, stopgap first baseman for you occasionally, like the Dodgers are using him. He made a heck of a barehanded play the other night, but that's not the norm. That's the, you know, every now and then guy. But, yeah, I mean, if he wants to keep playing, I'm sure somebody, again, from a marketing standpoint alone, knowing that with every at-bat, with every run batted in, with every home run, it's going to mean something, that they'll look at him.
To me, if you're a bottom rung team that is in a full rebuild, if you are the Arlington Junk Grabbers, you could bring in Albert Pujols to try to chase a record in your uniform.
Yeah, but why would you do that when you're trying to groom so many young players and figure out what you got?
Because usually you don't groom a young player in the DH slot. Most of your young players can play the field. Look, Yordan Alvarez is an anomaly in that he's a young guy who primarily DHs. But for the most part, your young guys are going to play the field. If you can have a guy like Albert Pujols who can come in, who can impart some of that wisdom on your young guys, and maybe give you a lot of marketable dates because you're a bad baseball team, you need a reason for people to come to your stadium, your brand-new, beautiful stadium. I mean, it is a nice stadium. Let's give credit where it's due. That is a really nice park.
You been there?
The new park? Yeah, it's a nice park. But
the one that looks like a grill?
Like a grill. Stop.
It looks like it.
The
really
outdoor
does.
The outdoor park. Originally, yeah, that one looked like a grill, the metal
Christina
fencing.
Christina said it looks like a shed.
No, it's nicer than that.
So you can.
But the point being.
A she shed.
She shed. Oh, does that mean it's going to get struck by lightning? But the idea being.
It's
you've
a
got
chandelier.
You have a brand new stadium. You're trying to get people in. Nobody's coming to watch your team lose 105 games.
No one's coming because Albert Pujols is playing for you.
If he's closing in on 700, they are, because it's a milestone. There's only three.
Let me tell you.
There's only three guys who have gotten there. So you're talking about being the fourth player to 700 home runs. That's a big deal.
It hurts that they're in the National League, but let me tell you where it could happen. St. Louis. They could bring him back.
He'd never get enough playing time.
It doesn't matter. They could do the right thing. You know how they're holier than thou about baseball. They could do the right thing and bring him home to finish out and have him play there. I could see it.
Certainly possible. I don't know that Albert would go back, because if Albert wants to really chase 700, he's going to need more at-bats than he could get in St. Louis. They still fancy themselves as being in the mix for next year. The Rangers, they're not in the mix at all.
No. All right, so there's some more baseball news. Astros tonight heading out to the West Coast, as we mentioned, to take on those Anaheim Angels, and hopefully they can lay down and play dead for in a weekend so that the Astros can get fat and happy and healthy and keep the bats rolling and have a good time with all of that. So we'll see how that goes. Is it Odorizzi? No, Greinke's on the hill tonight. So you got Greinke for the Astros tonight, and hopefully they start the road trip off the right way and get the weekend going in the right direction. That would be advantageous. Also advantageous, if you guys are thinking about it, look, it's the program that's set up by Cars for Kids. Go to carsforkids.org if you need more information. But the fact of the matter is Cars for Kids is working to get kids a second chance at an education, and they need your help. If you got a vehicle laying around in your driveway or your garage or back in the back of the field, if you've got some land, and you know that it's going to be a pain in the rear end and you don't want to pay to have someone tow it, you don't know what to do just to get rid of it, and you don't see that there's any end in sight, there actually is. And all it takes is one call or getting online to carsforkids.org or calling 713-225-4226 and getting in touch with Cars for Kids. They come to you, they tow it away. It's free. It's a tax write-off, so you're going to gain there. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card, and then the process really begins. You get all you can get out of the deal, and then your donation actually does way more than whatever you receive because it's going to help a kid with a second chance at an education. The benefits are also going to go locally to the Houston Can Academies who are helping these kids every day. And the program is the gift that keeps on giving. So at the end of the day, if you've got something to donate and you just haven't really gotten around to it, please try it and see if it's in your heart and you can get on the phone or you can get on the internet and you can get in contact with Cars for Kids. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to, as simply put as this, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Here we go. Final hour of the program rolls on. It is, of course, the final Press Box. I guess in the history of Gal Media? I don't know. I mean, if Charlie wants to take the name, we'll give it to him. We're in a giving mood today. So if we're going to give certain bits and things away, Charlie, you're now the Press Box next week. We said so. We're tired of your name on the show anyway. It's the Press Box with the little guy. How about that? Skechers and all. Child sizing approved. Boing. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm not having it. I want my name on the show.
We're going to call it the Press Box with adult extra large or child's XL?
No, with mall walking tendencies.
Okay.
How about that? Softball R Us.
Windbreakers. Starter jackets.
As long as they have logos, we're free, and I saved them from the 80s.
Zubus.
Yes, that's possible. All right, so if Pat, you've been doing a hell of a job keeping us moving today. Where you want to go?
So you got the first week of the preseason.
Last night were a couple games.
Texans, the Packers.
Yes.
No Deshaun Watson, no Aaron Rodgers.
No.
How much of this game are you watching?
Oh, I'm watching quite a bit. Because it's doing me a favor. Because now instead of watching two bad preseason football games, I only have to watch one because they're both playing each other. So I can just tune in and get it all at one time. I'm interested, as Barry White would say, in the love. Because I need to see what they've seen in Jordan Love to do what they've done to my beloved franchise. And I need to either be convinced this guy does have potential or just understand, Aaron, here are the keys. Take us home for the next couple of years and get this guy out of my sight because he's already screwed up my summer.
So you're more interested in the Packers storyline than in any
I know where the Texans are going for a year, and I like line. It. Because I've told you this over and over again. There's a promo that airs it, and embrace the suck. That should be their bumper stickers, their banners. It should be draped all over the stadium on Kirby. Embrace the suck for one more year because that's where you get the highest draft picks. Because that's where you get the rebuild in full force going 100 miles an hour forward. And you completely redo your roster with the number one pick in every round of the draft. Multiple draft picks where you can get them by trades and otherwise to take some of the veterans off your hands. But do what you need to do to suck. Now that you have all your draft picks, they are in the utmost catbird seat in terms of the draft in every round.
Now, I ask you about this because there's a report on Pro Football Talk, that Vikings preseason tickets on the secondary market are going for as low as $3. Would you pay $3 to get Texans tickets to a preseason game this year?
I have no interest in being in person in any NFL preseason game. The beauty of recording them is I can watch them at my leisure. I can turn them off whenever I want, and I can multitask like a mother if I have to. If I have to go to the game, no matter how cheap the tickets. And a perfect example is, for years working, as you know, working for a station that was the flagship, tickets are plenty, and especially for the preseason games. And there's a reason for that. I don't need to see it in person. I get more coverage and more information watching it on my television. What are you so geeked about to watch this weekend, Texans-Packers? You want to see the running back battle?
I want to give you an answer. I want to say something. I want to have, like, oh, well, you know, the running back battle, or maybe I want to see Nico Collins.
You want to see Davis Mills throw it to the other team the way he's been throwing it to his own team, only it was defensive members of his own team?
There is absolutely zero storyline or zero interest in anything regarding the Texans right now. And honestly, I hate that. I want to have something to look forward to. I want to have something to be interested in. I want to have something to hang my hat on and say, yeah, you know what? I'm looking forward to this battle. I'm looking forward to see this guy play. I want to say, I don't have any of that with the Houston Texans right now. And I hate that because it's going to ruin football for me this year. I mean, yes, I can, you know, go out of market. I can watch my Giants. I don't expect a whole lot from them either. They'll play good defense. If Saquon Barkley's back, he'll be exciting to watch. At least I have a couple of things to look at when it comes to them. But what? There's been a lot of, well, all anybody ever talks about the Texans is Deshaun Watson. It's all Deshaun Watson. That's all they ever want to talk about. What else is there to talk about of any interest other than Deshaun Watson? Give me something.
You just got to look for depth going forward. We got to take a quick break. We're having some technical difficulties. We're going to reset the system. We're going to make sure that it's up to speed. So bear with us. We'll take a quick commercial break and be right back with a whole lot more. It's the Press Box on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Hey, for the final day, I get to spend it with Patrick Creighton, my good friend, as we've had a really good time for the last 2 weeks rolling through the final days of the Press Box. And we are out here in Edo at the East End Backyard as we celebrate Fred Fowler. The Falcon is flying off for a while to hang out and then come back, and he will be making appearances on a regular basis throughout all of the shows. But as we had him on earlier in the program, and you will hear quite a bit from him, as well as I'm sure a ton of others, as we do this great celebration for Fred in his neighborhood. I mean, someone made the great comment, Fred, and I'm going to have to read it to you because I actually have to look it up. But they said, because I said this is in your own neighborhood, so I'm like, it's convenient that you can get here quickly. And they said something about Fred walks there quickly, but he gets home in a half hour. Those something about the stumbling blocks of yeah. And I was like, yeah, that was well played.
It's staggering.
It was staggering. Yeah, it was staggering. So yes, Fred. There's. What are the odds? And I know it's not a Wednesday, but what are the odds that you might be staggering home tonight at the end of the festivities? Percent 1,000 has been mentioned. So there you have it.
I don't know. I feel like percent 30. I think 70% Uber or Lyft or rideshare home.
It's not that far away, Pat.
Yeah, but if it's
he might just say, "Hey, Creighton, for all I've done for you, drive my ass home." That's what he might say.
I'd drive him home. Of course, I don't know where he lives, and
he can. I'm sure he'll be sober enough to direct you.
Possibly. I think that's a 50-50 endeavor tonight.
Yeah, Roy's direct quote: "Fred's walk to the bar takes a few minutes, but walking home takes a half hour. The difference is staggering." Well played, Roy.
So all the talk about how all the Philadelphia Eagles are still interested in Deshaun Watson and they're still monitoring the situation and all that happy horse, you know what?
Yeah.
Last night, Eagles play the Steelers preseason game and What is your expectation this year for Jalen Hurts? Do you think Jalen Hurts is a legitimate starting quarterback prospect? Do you think he's a gimmick quarterback? Do you think he's basically going to be a guy who will wind up being a long-term backup? What's your outlook on Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts is a hell of an athlete, okay? So what I've said all along is, and welcome, by the way, to Big Clarence. We love to have him in the crowd. He's here supporting as he always does. Clarence is a Saints fan. My comparison is much like Taysom Hill. I don't think either guy is a starting quarterback that has long-term starting quarterback possibilities in the NFL. But I think that they have so much value in terms of being that Swiss Army knife that you can move all over the field, that you can line up in the backfield, that in short yardage you can put in a shotgun or put him behind center. You can put him in the slot when you need to put him in the slot. And he's proven that he can run with the football. He's proven he can get 2 yards. In certain situations, in certain packages, he can throw the football and he can get you first downs. I just don't think that he's shown me enough to say that he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL as a consistent starter. So I think he's a valuable piece on a roster, and I think Philadelphia's doing exactly what they need to do this year because they are in rebuild mode. And so until they get the draft pick that gets them in the position to get the quarterback of the future, they're going to roll with him. And just much like I said with the Texans, they're going to take the losses they need to take now so they can be better sooner rather than later as they go forward.
You know, and they don't necessarily have a whole bunch of great pieces around him or a great line, so they are in like real rebuild mode. That being said, if he doesn't have a big season, that obviously potentially keeps them in the mix for, you know, keeping an eye on Deshaun Watson, and does that trade market eventually develop, assuming that there's some kind of finality by the end of the season. How is that different from your outlook on Tua? What do you look at when you see Tua Tagovailoa? What are your expectations for him, not just talent-wise, but his ability to stay healthy?
That's the biggest thing. I want to see him healthy. I want to see if the first health question is, can he get to a health level that he achieved at Alabama before the injuries, before the significant injuries? Because that's the biggest concern that anybody should have. Because as long as he is Tua pre-injuries, then the upside and the ceiling is endless, because you've got a guy that has all the tools, that brings everything to the table, that could be a guy that you can honestly look at as being a franchise quarterback you can build around. But if he can't get back to where he was health-wise, then he already has limitations that tell you that the other bar that was set at Alabama is never going to be achieved. He's not going to get there. But as a pocket passer, arm strength, athletic ability, all the different things that go into what he brought to the table versus Jalen Hurts, I think Tua has the ability to be a franchise quarterback for a team. I think Tua has a guy that still has a huge upside, but it all is hinging on that health issue that you brought up, and it's twofold. Like I said, can he get back to the kind of health he had pre-major injuries? And then if he can't, you have a whole different evaluation you need to do from the perspective of, he's not the prospect he was coming out of college. What kind of prospect can he be going forward?
See, I'm with you. I think that Tua will show enough to convince the Dolphins you don't need to go out and try to make a deal for Deshaun Watson. You've got something. You've got a guy who can play with Tua Tagovailoa. And I think if he manages to not have some kind of hip-related injury this year, that I think they wind up sticking with him. Now, you go up the road to Carolina and Sam Darnold, who's had a new offensive coordinator of a year and with the Jets, and had a couple different head coaches with the Jets. Do you think he is salvageable, and is there enough there to take them out of the mix?
I think there is. I think that in terms of what Darnold's had to deal with the Jets, you don't wish upon anybody. And he's gotten beat up a little bit, but he hasn't had those career-changing type injuries that maybe new scenery is exactly what this guy needs, with some stability, with a coach that obviously believes in him enough to go get him, that I think that there's more of a chance that Carolina, after a year, says, as we continue this rebuild under Matt Rhule, this is the guy we want to build around, and we don't want to give up any more assets and draft picks. We want to just focus on where we are and how we get to the next level. But I do think at the end of the season, you're still going to see the same exact 4 teams in the mix. And depending on what happens in Green Bay with Rodgers, the Broncos are the team we haven't talked about yet. But the Broncos, because they're a playoff team, the Broncos, because of the fact that, aside from the quarterback position, they're pretty well covered depth-wise and talent-wise on that roster.
Well, that's the next part of this is the Broncos, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock. I don't even know if they've decided 100% where they're going to go yet. We know what Teddy Bridgewater is.
He's also another guy that's been damaged.
Maybe we don't know necessarily 100% what Drew Lock is. Is there an opportunity for Drew Lock to show you, hey, I can be the guy, or do you think that
he's
ceiling's
also,
not there?
I mean, he's still young enough, right? And they're still putting weapons around him. And there's still still a chance. But I also think that people close the door too quickly on Teddy, and they forget that five-game stretch for the Saints where he went undefeated, where the fact that in Carolina, he kept them in a lot of games last year. Now, obviously, they didn't win them, and the same thing could be said about Deshaun Watson. But he kept them in a lot of games. He got beat up quite a bit, too. But you know what? He didn't do a whole lot to be the reason why they lost. There was plenty of other fingers to be pointed in other directions based on the other talent that had on Carolina, and they didn't have McCaffrey. But I look at it and I say, again, for Denver or whoever to dump out and look at Teddy Bridgewater and go, no, he can't. He very well could because he did it with the Saints. If you've got a quality football team around him, he can manage a game. He can get you wins because of it. At least in the short term. That's why I think they'll lean his way. And Locke's still young enough that there might be something to develop around. But at the end of the year, you're going to have a very clear-cut understanding of what the Broncos need to do. Do they have one of the guys, or do they have to go out and get him? Because obviously with the other guys that they have, they've got a ton of talent on that team.
All right, so based on the conversation we just had,
yeah.
The only team that you feel like is 100% going to be in the conversation is going to be Philadelphia.
No, because the other thing that I think is you got to look at the timeline of a Miami Dolphins team no matter where Tua is at. If you feel like the rest of the team is definitely playoff ready, because let's be honest, the Dolphins look to be on a 3 to 5 year rebuilding program. And then all of a sudden, they found lightning in a bottle. They're playing their tails off a year ago, and suddenly that timeline changes and everybody's opinions changed and on their outlook, and maybe they got to go sooner rather than later, and maybe they got to pay more attention to a quarterback than waiting for Tua to develop or not develop. So maybe now Tua is a guy that the Texans can look at and say, hey, he's still got upside, and between him and David Mills we can have a competition, Davis Mills, and we can see what we got. But the rest of our team has pressed the gas pedal too quickly, too fast to show that they're too ready. We can't wait for Tua.
And why I said is, if you are trying to develop a market and you want to get the maximum return on whatever your asset is, you have to help create a market if one isn't already waiting for you. Do you feel like when we get to, let's say, the end of the season and teams are going to be, okay, well, who's going to be interested in Deshaun Watson, assuming that we've got that finality and he's movable, is there going to be as big a market as there was when the reports of him wanting out first surfaced before any of the sexual assault stuff came out and the Texans' phones blowing up with, you know, 10 different teams calling them? How many teams are in the market, let's say, you know, 8 months from now? Are the Texans looking at the same amount of teams interested, or is it going to be a smaller number and therefore potentially harder to get that, quote, max value, because there won't be as many teams in the mix?
Pat, I don't think, based on timing, I don't think it's about the teams. I think it's all about what happens with all the stuff off the field with Deshaun. We know that if you believe what everything that's been said about, and this takes and excludes what's ever going on with HPD right now and the last woman that now is talking to them currently, in which Berman tweeted today, if you missed it, we mentioned it earlier in the show, about how they're trying to evaluate the need for a grand jury to possibly get involved. I think it has nothing to do with how many teams are involved. I think it has everything to do with, am I putting potential future assets on the line for a guy that might also be tagged with a 6 month? If we go with the Ezekiel Elliott mold and he gets out of everything, it's still going to be six games.
Minimum six games,
right? If there's some smoke and fire, then it's going to be more like a year, more like almost a full season, to which you say, if I'm a general manager and I'm interested in keeping my job while I'm trying to do the right thing for my franchise, I'm not giving away 3 to 5 quality young players for a guy that I can't put a dead set date on that says, when I make this trade, I'm going to have this guy, and this is what I'm up against. There's no clarity. I don't know how many cases there are going to be. I don't know how long the suspension could be. And so I don't know when I'm going to have him on the field. For that reason alone, I'm not giving you the haul that everybody says Deshaun is worth.
and this, you know, part of it is, let's say Tua has a really good season. And let's say Sam Darnold, by the end of the season, has really turned things around. And, you know, with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, that team has a little more promise to it. And Denver has either decided we're happy with Teddy or we're happy with Drew Lock, or, you know what, we think even with one of these two guys, we're still close enough that we're not just going to dump out a whole bunch of young assets to go acquire one player who might have some issues. If you're talking about Philly or Philly and maybe one other team, where is the impetus for a team like Philadelphia, if it's just them or it's them and one other team, to just completely hand over the wallet against themselves? Like, you're not just going to bid against yourselves. If it's only you.
The only motivation you have in a situation like that is you did your own intel. You did what the Astros did when they got Osuna and said, we did our due diligence. We got our security team and the people that we know people in the know, in the different cases and all the things, to realize this is going to get resolved. They're going to settle with this many. They're going to actually fight this many. At the end of the day, they're only going to have to deal with this many. And at the end of all of it, this is all we're going to be dealing with. Then you know that it's worth it, because you know on the field there's no question he can play.
Because we see this with how teams negotiate with players, right? You think that you're worth $10 million, we'll give you $3 million. Go out on the market. If you can find somebody to give you more than $3 million, well, come tell us and we'll talk again. And then the next thing you know, the guy signed up for $1.5 million.
But don't fool yourself, Pat. There's going to be other teams that we haven't talked about that could potentially be in the mix. What about Atlanta? They're going to have to make a decision on Matt Ryan sometime soon. They're putting weapons around him. They're doing things to in their rebuild to put other quality players on their roster. And you know, Deshaun used to be a ball kid for the Falcons. What if the Falcons are another team that gets into the mix now that they're starting to add weapons and they want to do the rebuild the right way?
To me, I feel like the Falcons need to break down before they start handing over assets to grab a particular player. They need a lot of players.
But I'm just saying.
I'm throwing out
that there might be other teams that we're not thinking about currently.
Another team that enters the mix as a rebuilder.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap it up here with a final segment before we turn it over to the Blitz for the final time and have a really, really good time on the last regular spot for Fred Fowler, the Falcon, as he has one final blitz. Before we do that, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, if you're not just feeling the energy that you had when you were in your 20s and 30s and you were in your heyday and you thought that it was gone, those days are over, and I can't get them back, you're absolutely wrong. Men and women, they're doing hormone therapy on a daily basis at Apollo Men's Health, and they're getting people to come back with results in which people are hitting me up saying, I heard you talk about them, I went to see them, and I feel better than I felt maybe ever, and it's all because of the fact that I trusted Dr. O and the people at Apollo Men's Health. You can do the same thing. You want to get on a workout program, full body composition analysis. It only takes about 60 seconds. You get the readout and the data right in front of you. You know what you got to work on. You can set your goals accordingly, and then you come back every so often. You track your progress, and they tell you what you need to do. It's all part of the process of knowing that Dr. O used to work at the other clinics. He found out what works, what doesn't, and all he does is the stuff that's going to get you results and benefits on a daily basis. Your health is your wealth. You need to invest in yourself. So from the bedroom to the weight room to the boardroom, check out the good people at Apollo Men's Health, two locations near downtown Houston. Go to apollomh.com and sign up for your first visit. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And if you tell them I sent you by Joel Blank, you're going to get a free B12 shot on that first visit. They're good people doing great things. I believe in them on a daily basis. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from East End Backyard. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Final segment of the Press Box as we wrap it up and put a bow on it with the new lineup starting on Monday. But the more important thing is we're in the east end of downtown for one final blitz, for one final send-off for the Falcon, Fred Fowler. He's still going to be around. He's not passing away. It's not a funeral. It's a celebration, because Fred Fowler and AJ and the Blitz gave you so many good memories and so many good times and so many highly rated shows that it is worth celebrating one more time. You sent AJ off to Vegas. Fred's not going anywhere, but he's worth at least his show and more, having a good time and thanking the Falcon for all the work he did here.
Especially since, you know, on that show, if you're a fan of the local teams, Fred is the fan of the local teams. Yep. AJ was the guy who antagonized you and told you how much your local teams are awful.
AJ was a Warriors fan. He loved Steph Curry. So that was the easiest one. Basketball-wise, everybody knew that. I don't even know who his team was.
How does a guy who was working in Austin before coming
Oh, that's right. He's a Bills fan. That's right. Yeah,
he wound up a Warriors fan.
I shouldn't say that. AJ's always been a Bills fan, so I knew that. So you got Warriors, Bills, and baseball. He had an Indians hat for a while, but
He liked the Astros.
He did like the Astros?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he didn't like them when they were crap because nobody did.
Well, that's a fair weather fan then. I watched them every night when they lost 100 games. I still had them on.
Well, good for you.
Okay, so there you go. So I'm better than that.
Huh. Okay.
How about that? Creighton did too. I can almost bet on it.
I was there.
I don't need to know that. Okay,
I was there.
That's a little bit pretentious to say. I was there.
I was there.
Of course, you wait till now when he's not here to refute it.
You know why I was there?
You know what?
Because
sometimes
I had nothing
it's
else
better
to
that
do.
Way.
I could go watch baseball. I was at the time I was working for another station, and I wasn't on every night. So when I wasn't on, I had a press pass to go watch baseball. I took advantage of that
Absolutely.
Every single time.
It was a different time.
Those were the good old days when everybody in media,
everybody got their
press
pass. Any
sports station, talk station, whatever, you got a media pass.
Yeah, and it wasn't
just go.
It wasn't like you get it for the first round, but then when it gets to the second round, you start trimming and you start telling people no.
And there was no barcode that you have to scan at the press box to make sure that you're actually going.
That was that
covering. Yeah,
yeah. Or Barry Warner could. Barry Warner illegally representing Asian Sports Southwest Media was still getting third base seats in playoff games for whatever the sport you may name. Those were the days. So with a betting perspective, as we put some of this on there, because we know Fred's our betting guy too, did you see this race? Did you see where Usain Bolt challenged Tyreek Hill to a 70-yard sprint? He puts up a gold medal. Tyreek Hill puts up his Super Bowl ring. And Tyreek Hill, right from the get-go, he did it on the Rich Eisen show, I think, and Tyreek Hill, right from the get-go, was like, you looking for attention, bro. We're not getting into all that.
Well, if you have a Super Bowl ring, do you want a gold medal?
First of all, there's no way that either guy should be putting up either thing. You want to put money towards a charity or you want to make it fun? I mean, Chad Johnson raced a damn horse. I think it was for charity, but you can put money on it, but you're not putting up a gold medal versus a Super Bowl ring.
And against the guy who, doesn't he hold the record for the 100 meters?
Usain Bolt, like, won the gold in the 100 and I want to say the 200 for consecutive Olympics, but I want to say more than that. I think he's got, like, from 2016 on until he's been out and out of the game for about 5 years. But, I mean, I want to say that it was multiple Olympics, multiple events within the Olympics that he did it. But like I said, that's a lifetime achievement award. You're not going to put that up for one 70-yard race against a Super Bowl ring, and Tyreek Hill shouldn't do that either.
He's got
eight gold medals. So he can spare one?
I mean, if it means you get an actual authentic Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, but no. First of all, and I don't want to say no one's dumb enough to do that, but I want to say that no one should be dumb enough to do that. That's just senseless. Like, put money on a charity if it means something to you. I don't think either guy's hurting for cash because Usain Bolt during the Olympics was on commercials for Puma and for, like, selling cars and doing all these things to where whether he's in shape or not, he doesn't have to worry about it. He's got all the money he needs in the bank. Because a lot of these countries, too, give you a whole lot of dough for winning a gold medal.
This, to me, it's a bigger deal for Tyreek Hill. He's got one Super Bowl ring.
He's also got Pat Mahomes, so he's got a chance to win some more.
He's got a chance, but he doesn't have them already. Usain Bolt already has 8 gold medals. If he loses one, he still has 7 more. If Tyreek Hill loses his Super Bowl ring, there's no guarantee he gets another. I don't think I'd want to give up my one ring to somebody else who's got a fistful and say, hey, I can spare one.
I personally am telling you right now, I am never making a bet like that. I am never, again, both are lifetime achievements that no one should be able to take away from you, let alone do it on a stupid 70-yard race. It's just senseless.
That's the old, yeah, hey, let's, you know, you race your cars for slips.
Who would you bet on?
I'd probably bet on Usain Bolt.
I kind of would too. Everybody's saying, well, you know, Tyreek Hill's in season, so he's in shape. He's running routes. He's not running 70-yard sprints against a guy that's pretty much made his entire living off of sprints like
that. As the greatest sprinter in the history of the world. Yeah, I'm going to go with that guy. I'm going to go with the guy who's got some gold medals and has won a whole bunch of them over the football player. Here's one. They start to race, and Tyreek Hill grabs a hammy.
And that would also be.
Then what does Patrick Mahomes say?
Yep. Yeah, it's that would be another issue. I think you're absolutely right. Would be very pertinent. And then there was. Did y'all see that? That one of the females that won a gold medal had they did a celebration for her, and the mayor did what they like to do, where they show like they're gonna bite the medal, although he literally bit it and like not only dented it but almost like took like part of it off of it. So the Olympic Committee has decided that they're going to reimburse her with another medal. Like, dumbass mayor, what are you doing? Are you hungry? You're going to actually literally bite the gold medal.
Not an actual sports fan, just kind of sees it on TV?
I mean, not only that, but I have a feeling that when you're getting ready to go up on the podium, there's somebody who, like, because there's always logistics people who are, you know, ushering people in and out off of podiums and stuff like that, making sure everybody's facing the camera at the right time. They probably tell you before they walk you out, like, hey, by the way, if you decide to do the bite thing, don't actually bite
it's
down.
It's soft metal.
Like, yeah, it's gold. It's actual gold. You will bite through. Don't do that. So athletes probably get that little lecture like 30 seconds before going up and realize that, hey, if I'm going to bite on it, I'm just going to like fake it.
Right, you do it like always pulling like your teeth is touching it.
I'm going to give the mayor a little bit of a pass just because, but still, don't bite on something else that somebody else has put in their mouth.
First of all, we're just getting out of a pandemic. The mayor, again, for a lot of reasons, shouldn't be looking for a hankery big old bite of a gold medal.
Exactly. Don't put your mouth where somebody else's has been.
Realistically, come on. And in the feel-good story, the female wrestler that won gold from George Ranch. She went to George Ranch. She said, and I don't know if the United States does this like other countries with the fact that when you win a certain medal, you get a certain amount of money as a, kind of like a reimbursement. But she said, based on all the time her mom was there to support her, to get her to her dreams, she wanted her to fulfill her mom's dreams. So she was going to start working so that she could get a food truck for her mom that wants to have a food truck. And word got out and donations were made. And they are in the process right now of a full donation, full-fledged $250,000 food truck that is going to be given to her mom free of charge so she can fulfill her dreams. That's an awesome story.
Oh, and you know it's going to have a line for 3 days, for the whole first month that it's open in Houston. I mean, say what you want about the city. The city is, one, loyal as hell.
No doubt.
Two, patriotic as hell. So people will be driving out there and just waiting. And waiting and waiting, and they will make sure that they get that food.
Yeah. Anything that is new food, there's a
sign
huge
me up.
Line.
I'll go.
You know what? To your point too, that's why no matter what the rest of the world thinks of anything that happened in the Olympics, Simone Biles is always going to be a hero here. She's always going to be honored here. Whatever she does here is going to be supported. Her gymnastics academy is going to be supported. And that's just facts. That's the way Houston is. But that's also the kind of loyalty, guys, that when we get back to the Deshaun situation or we get back to the Harden situation. That's why I'm like, with all the support that they always feel being an athlete in this town, the minute that you decide to say that you're going to crap on the city of Houston and say, I want out, bye, Felicia, and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But I don't need that because – this fan base, look what they've done with the whole cheating scandal. They have not wavered once in their support of their team and being unified and saying us against the world. So if you want out and suddenly because the going's not as good, James Harden or Deshaun Watson, then bye, and we'll move on to the next situation too. Because you know what? This city is stronger than and better than that kind of crap.
Let's be fair. When somebody doesn't want to be in a particular place, you're never going to get their best. You're never going to get the kind of performance that you need from them to really win. So the whole idea of when somebody says, I want out of here, no, you're going to fight them. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. You're probably giving up the best deals you can get to wind up taking less. As soon as somebody says they want out, that's when the iron is hottest. That's when everybody and their brother is calling you to offer you the whole world to get that player. That's when you make the deal. Take the emotion out of it. Take the pain, all the heartache. I've been rejected by a player. No, stop all that. This is business. As soon as the guy says I want out, okay, fine. I'm taking everybody's calls. We're going to play everybody against each other, and I'm going to max out my return on this. Stop with the whole, well, you know, we'll try to work it over. We'll try to work it out. Because, obviously, we know if the Texans had taken that approach, this wouldn't be their problem.
No question about it. All right, as we wrap it up here, we give you the breaking news or the steady news that you need leading into the weekend. If you guys are going to make a prediction, Astros, Angels. On Monday, we're talking about what? A sweep of the Angels?
We might be talking about sweep of the Angels. They can't pitch. And Sandoval, who's going tonight, has actually been one of their better pitchers. His peripherals are good. His record is bad, but his peripherals are good. And that's more the issue of, you know, what kind of
sub
pitcher you're going to get.
Sub-4 ERA on that team is saying something.
And, you know, but the whip, the strikeout numbers, like all those numbers are good. Just the record isn't good. Part of that is their bullpen is atrocious. So even if he is good, if he's not giving you eight innings, and most pitchers don't go eight innings anymore, you still get to beat up on a bad bullpen. So, I'm going to say this should be Astros going
should
to town.
Should be. It's a sub-500 team.
They should be going to town. No, they are a 500 team. I think they are right at 500.
They're a
sub-500. So it takes them out of the qual-
no
they will
Mike
be at
Trout,
the end.
No Rendon. They're a sub-500.
They will be on Sunday.
All right. I'm going to say 2 out of 3 against the Angels, although I hope it's a sweep.
Boots
Texans and Packers from Lambeau Field on Saturday night. If you got football and you just can't find anything else to do, you can watch your Texans in their first preseason game against the Green Bay Packers. And there's that. And the Rockets, no need to watch any more summer league unless you want to watch the other guys develop because Jalen Green's going to be shut down. So at least we saw enough to realize there's hope there as well. There's lots of hope for the final 3 hours of the day as we know that it's going to be the Honor of the Falcon Fred Fowler show today as one final blitz. Lots of people starting to get here early. It's going to be a good old time. Call in, stop by, be a part of it because, gosh darn it, as I keep telling you, that show was so good for so long and number one for so many months. People forget that when they just decide that to pass on by. So don't pass this opportunity up to honor him one more time. Honor the Falcon, Fred Fowler. He's coming up next. Look forward to that. Make sure you guys be a part of it. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you with the new lineup on Monday.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.